This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined for the next 2 hours of the show by Dr. Kaveh Farooq of the University of British Columbia up in Vancouver, Canada. He is the author of the new book, Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War. You can find this through Osprey Publishing, O-S-P-R-E-Y. Osprey Publishing's website is at www.OspreyPublishing.com. Barnes & Noble, as well as Borders here in San Antonio, are now carrying this book very prominently in the front of the store when you walk in. And I would urge each and every one of you to get a copy of this book, because when it comes to understanding the history of the Persian Empire, especially as it relates to military history, this is the definitive work in the field. It is 320 pages long. It has an incredible number of maps in it and end notes, all kinds of things that will cause you to return to this volume time and time again. As I mentioned in the first hour of the show, there are books that you buy that are on your shelf one day and they're gone the next. This book will be on your shelf for decades if you decide to invest in it. I strongly recommend it to you. It's $29.95 in the United States. It's $37.95 in Canada. And as I mentioned also in the first hour of the show, I'm teaching a class tonight at Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 130 Saipan in South San Antonio, where we're talking about the book of Daniel. And guess what? This book, Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War, by Dr. Kaveh Farooq, is going to be one of the key resource materials that we use in that class tonight to enhance our understanding of some of the ancient Achaemenid kings of Persia, including Cyrus the Great. Dr. Farooq, how are you, sir?
Oh, it's wonderful being on your show and talking to you, actually.
Well, well, it's an honor for me to have you, sir, because, and I say this sincerely, you're clearly one of the great Persian scholars existing in this century. I say that without equivocation. I think those in San Antonio and elsewhere around the country that are listening to this broadcast to buy the book will understand exactly what I'm talking about. And there are so many things that we could speak of, Dr. Farooq, today. And I wanted to warn you that we have, probably in a few minutes, we'll have our first commercial break. You'll hear the music come up. But in regard to this book, what do you see as its central contribution, its central importance to the average American and Western reader who knows little, if anything at all, about ancient Persia or modern Iran?
I would probably say Cyrus the Great, because Cyrus is probably the nexus of it all. Without Cyrus, there is no Persia, really. And Cyrus, it wasn't so much his military genius, but his genius as a human being and his understanding of a single God, if you will, and his profound respect for the Jews and the Jewish religion, and his vision of him having to defend the faith and defend the Jews, as seen in the Cyrus Cylinder, which is still... There's a facsimile, actually, of that cylinder in the United Nations building in New York. And I was pleasantly surprised to see that last August when I was visiting.
Isn't the original cylinder in the British Museum in London?
Yes.
Yes.
There's a photograph of this that Osprey actually kindly displays on page, I'm just looking at the page number here, page 45, I believe it is. And even though there's some damage to it over time, the original is in the British Museum, and it's fascinating because one sees how much respect the Jewish religion had with the Zoroastrian element, if you will.
We'll be back. This is Mark Ancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're with Dr. Kaveh Farooq today, Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War. That's Osprey Publishing. When we come back, we'll talk about Cyrus and the Jews. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Kaveh Farooq of the University of British Columbia up in Vancouver, Canada. He is the author of the new book, Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War. This is a book that is put out by Osprey Publishing, O-S-P-R-E-Y, Osprey Publishing, www.ospreypublishing.com. You can also get this very fine volume through Amazon and also through Barnes & Noble and Borders. It's in all the bookstores here in San Antonio, Texas. I trust that a lot of people are going to be taking a look at this in the days ahead. It's 320 pages long, incredible research, a lot of pictures, lots of maps, lots of endnotes and footnotes. You will not be sorry that you purchased this volume, folks. I bought mine at Barnes & Noble last night in San Antonio. It is well worth the 30 American dollars that are being charged for it. I guarantee you that if you live long enough, this book will still be on your shelf decades from now. I wanted to quote from the foreword of this book, written by one Professor Richard Nelson Fry, who in September 2006 said, quote, "In this book, Dr. Kaveh Farooq has given us the Persian side of the picture, as opposed to the Greek and Roman viewpoint, which has long dominated our understanding of these wars. It is refreshing to see the other perspective, and Dr. Farooq sheds light on many Persian institutions in this history, such as the Sasanian elite cavalry, the Savaran, Osprey Publishing, is to be congratulated for publishing Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War, which presents another aspect of the wars between East and West in ancient times. Kaveh, before the break, we were starting to get into a little bit of this discussion of Cyrus the Great. You mentioned on page 45 of the book that there is a picture of the cylinder, and this, I guess, will lead into a larger conversation about the significance of Cyrus the Great, which for those who have the book, from page 37 onward, chapter 2, there is a section entitled Cyrus the Great and the Early Achaemenids. Let's get back to this then, Dr. Farouk, in regard to this whole business of Cyrus and his so-called liberation of the Jews who were in bondage in the Babylonian exile and empire. Let's pick it up at that point.
Well, what's interesting is when Babylon fell to Cyrus, what's fascinating is that this was achieved in a remarkably modern ways. Cyrus was really attempting to liberate Babylon from, basically a sort of despotic rule. And what's fascinating is when you look at the Nabonidus Chronicle of Babylon, and I just quote here, and we have this, of course, on page 43, footnotes, but I'll just read that out. Cyrus entered Babylon. The state of peace was imposed on all the city. Cyrus sent greetings to all Babylon. So what's fascinating is that he was welcomed as a liberator. And the fascinating part was the role of the Jews, and Judah in particular. Remember that Judah had revolted against the Babylonian Empire in about 597 B.C. And the Babylonian king at the time, Nebuchadnezzar, had crushed the Jewish rebellion. Jerusalem was sacked, and the Temple of Yahweh was, of course, destroyed. And a large number of Jews and their leadership were basically deported to Babylon. And, of course, remember that there had been earlier deportations of the Jews by the Assyrian Empire as far away as western Iran, where the community still exists, actually, which is quite fascinating. And, of course, that's where you find the tomb of Esther and Mordecai. But what's fascinating is that the Jews of Iran in particular are probably the earliest Hebrew settlers outside of Judea that we can actually trace back, especially in ancient Ecbatana, which, in ancient Media, which is now the city of Hamadan,
yes,
where, the Jewish quarter is still there, intact. It's quite fascinating. And many people, for example, if you go to Hamadan, even if they're Muslim presently, they will proudly tell you that, my ancestor was Jewish. So it's quite fascinating to see these types of things. Now, what we know is that the Jewish religious writings had forecast the destruction of Babylon. So when Cyrus defeated Nabonidus of Babylon, he officially declared the freedom of the Jews from their Babylonian captivity. And this is the first time in history that a world power, I guess they would have been the superpower at the time, had guaranteed the survival of the Jewish religion, customs, and culture, much like America today. So it's fascinating to see history repeat itself now on the North American continent. And the Jews were to play really a vital role, as they do today, in trades, businesses of ancient Iran, and they enjoyed complete cultural freedom. But we think that there up to 40,000 of the Mesopotamian Jews, if you will, did return to Israel. And what Cyrus did was he allowed them to rebuild their temple and supported that reconstruction from imperial funds, from the treasury. So he made sure that this was done. And, of course, the empire continued that support because when you look at the time of Darius, the Great. Again, he was more of an empire builder, but he made sure that that policy was continued. And what's interesting is that the Achaemenid kings, ordered the sacred Hebrew artifacts that had been confiscated by Nebuchadnezzar to be restored to Jewish ownership. So that's quite fascinating. Now, the Jews were very much aware, and they were very proud of the generosity of Cyrus. When you look at the book of Isaiah, for example, the quote that you see is Yahweh's anointed, which is quite an, you know.
That's in Isaiah 44 and 45, I believe.
Exactly, exactly. Koresh, the Hebrew name for Cyrus. And it's interesting, in Persian, Cyrus is Kurosh. And in Hebrew, the name is very close to the original Persian, which is Koresh. And, of course, he's hailed as a Messiah by the Jews. And Isaiah describes Cyrus as, "He is my shepherd, and he shall fulfill all my purpose." Now, of course, not all Jews returned to Jerusalem. Many had put down personal roots and mercantile roots in Mesopotamia and earlier in ancient Iran, of course. But, you know, what changed with the arrival of Cyrus, I think, was their freedom of worship. The descendants of many of these Jews remained in Mesopotamia for over 2,000 years. Now, this may shock a number of viewers. Very few, even in the Middle East, are really aware that up to one-third of the inhabitants of post-World War I Baghdad, what is now Iraq, may have been Jewish. So people forget that what is now Iraq was a very cosmopolitan state. I don't know if it was a state, but it's definitely an area. Baghdad in particular was such as, even Baghdad, the name Baghdad is not an Arabic name, as we may assume. It's derived from basically the old Persian bog, dot, bogu. Bog means God in ancient Iranian, dot means to be given. And of course in the Slavic languages, bog also means God. We go on Indo-European connection there. But apparently, the name is sort of the ancient Iranian equivalent of Godiva. And, of course, it was an old fishing village. It grew and grew. And when the Arabs basically took over the region, then Baghdad was transformed into a capital, a city of the caliphate. But what's fascinating is that how powerful the Jewish presence was up to very recent times. And now, you know, going back to ancient times, the biblical characters, Ezra, Daniel, Esther, Mordecai, they all played very important roles in the Persian court. In fact, going back to the city of Hamadan, you will see the tomb of Esther and Mordecai. And the city of Hamadan, for example, the people are quite proud of the site. And on page 46, there's a very good photograph. Just on a personal note, I've just been on the environs. I've never actually been able to get very close. But my father, in his younger days, said that they were actually able to get very close to the site. And it's been built in a very fascinating way. It's built like a keep. It's almost a castle inverted inwards. Again, there's some mystery there. So it'll be interesting to do some research on that. And, of course, there's the tomb of Daniel in southwest Iran.
Again, in Susa.
Yes, in Susa.
Yes.
And despite all the propaganda that's been in place, even the most devout Muslims will go and pay homage to these sites. And the regime has been very careful not to, politicize those sites because I guess there's a red line. But it's good to know that the tomb of Cyrus, for example, again, the people are quite guarded and jealous about that site. Heaven forbid any damage should come to that site. People are quite aware that the tomb of Cyrus doesn't just belong to Iran. It's really a cultural heritage site for us all.
As an acknowledged international scholar in this area, Dr. Farouk, what do you make of this controversy that I've been reading about in the last several years, indicating that the current regime in Tehran was going to build a dam, Sivan dam, and that this dam allegedly could potentially create an ecological hazard to the survivability of the tomb of Cyrus the Great? What do you make of that controversy?
It's a very fascinating question because there are two schools of thought. One, the people who are building.
I hear my commercial music coming up, so we'll take it up right there when we come back.
Sure thing.
This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today is Dr. Kaveh Farouk, author of the new book, Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
We're back. This is Mark Ankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Kaveh Farouk of the University of British Columbia up in Vancouver, Canada. He is the author of the new book, Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War. This book is 320 pages long. It has an incredible number of pictures and maps in it and endnotes. It's put out by Osprey Publishing, O-S-P-R-E-Y. That's www.OspreyPublishing.com. You can buy this book through Amazon. It's available here in San Antonio, both at Barnes & Noble and at Borders, all of their different locations. You walk in the store, it's likely to be very prominently displayed either in the new book section when you first walk in or in the section that deals with history and military matters. I guarantee you, if you put down in this country the $30 it'll cost you to get the book in the United States, you won't be sorry. As I mentioned in the first hour of the show, for those of you out there who are interested in the in ancient Persia because of your study of the Old Testament, be that in a home Bible study or in a homeschooling situation or what's going on with your local church, This book is absolutely an invaluable acquisition either to your personal library or your church library. Again, the title is Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War. The author is Dr. Kaveh Farouk. And before the break, Dr. Farouk, we were talking about this present controversy in Iran surrounding the so-called Saivand Dam and whether or not the building of this dam by the current regime in Tehran is creating potentially an ecological hazard to the tomb of Cyrus the Great in Pasar Gadai. Go ahead, sir.
Actually, it's fascinating because I've sent actually some questions actually to people in Iran and outside of Iran, and I seem to be getting two opposite responses. Authorities in Iran basically say that, don't worry about it, that there's nothing going to happen, and so on. However, this is contradicted by, scholars outside that say that what will happen is that the dam may flood the region and, of course, submerge the tomb of Cyrus. So there are two opposing views there. Now, it's hard to say who's right and who's wrong, but on balance, so far, the arguments that I've seen, most of the people seem to be in favor of the fact that the tomb and Pasar Gadai are in danger. But we have to, sort of zoom out a bit and see what's been happening in the big picture. There has been danger of damage to many sites, ancient pre-Islamic sites in Iran. For example, there's a picture of a knight towards the end of the chapter of a mailed knight carrying a lance, which is one of the first depictions of heavy cavalry that we see. That is located in western Iran, in the Kurdish part of Iran, and it's probably one of the most probably ancient depictions of cavalry. And what's interesting is you get depictions of angels, very much similar in the biblical manner, so to speak, on the archway. And it's located in a very fascinating area. You have to cross a small body of water with a boat just to get to that site. Now, the place is called Togha Bostan, but there's definitely reports that there are plans to build a railway right next to the site, and if that is done, the shock of constant transport will collapse the site. So we're looking also at a lot of warnings that have been issued by the United Nations, the cultural heritage sites, to the authorities to please be careful of these sites, because these sites, again, like we said, they don't just belong to Iran. They belong basically to humanity, because it's kind of like when we talk about places like Jerusalem, when we talk about many of these sites like the pyramids in Egypt. These belong to all of us. They don't just belong to the, just the resident people surrounding those sites. These are sacred sites. These belong to all of us. And it would be so nice if, current politicians would rise above their petty politics and realize that there's something much larger at stake here. And, of course, I was shocked to see that so much of the new generation that I've seen do not even know who Cyrus is. But I think thanks partly to the Internet and TV and media, we now know who Cyrus was. And, of course, like we said earlier, without Cyrus, there would be no Persia, really. And it would be interesting to see what would have happened, for example, just going back earlier to the Jews, how the course of history and Judeo-Christianity may have been different had Cyrus not existed. And I think what's far more important about Cyrus, like we said, it wasn't so much his military performance as it was his enlightened policies of the day, which were far ahead of his time, just like Leonardo da Vinci was ahead of his time maybe 500 years just with the inventions that he had in mind.
When we come back, I want to take up this issue of Cyrus the Great and whether or not we might properly see him as the father of the modern human rights movement. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Dr. Kaveh Farouk, the author of the new book, Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War, put out by Osprey Publishing. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
We're back. This is Mark Dantos of Erica coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Kaveh Farouk of the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, Canada. He is the author of the brand new book, Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War. It's put out by Osprey Publishing, O-S-P-R-E-Y, Osprey Publishing. You can find those fine folks at www.ospreypublishing.com. I wanted to mention to the listeners that I have found three books to be especially helpful on ancient Persia. One is written by my friend Dr. Edwin Yamauchi, who is the president of the Evangelical Theological Society. He also teaches history at Miami University in Ohio. His book is entitled Persia in the Bible. That's put out by Baker. A second book that I've come across in recent times is a brand new offering entitled The Persian Empire by Lindsay Allen. That's a University of Chicago Press publication. That's 224 pages long. It's got a lot of really good data in it. But without demeaning those two books, which I think are very fine volumes, I think for most of us out there, Dr. Farouk's book is absolutely going to be the most essential because it's so readable. It not only has all of the scholarship in it that is well beyond most of us, including me, but it gives us a certain kind of accessibility to the scholarship. Those of us, including me, who are non-specialists in this field, will relate to the pictures and the maps and the endnotes. It's absolutely enjoyable. You could have this thing on your coffee table and pick it up and just spend an evening with it with no problem at all. And again, it's entitled Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War. So I think the Yamauchi book and the Lindsay Allen book are both very, very fine volumes. I have both of them now in my personal library. I've read one of the two, and I'm working my way through the second one. But Dr. Farouk's book is a special gem, folks. I strongly urge you to get a copy of it, especially those of you out there in the American community who are interested in the books of the Old Testament that pertain, among other things, to the ancient Achaemenid kings of Persia, thinking of Daniel, thinking of Esther, thinking of Isaiah, thinking of the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Read those side by side with Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War by Dr. Kaveh Farouk, and I guarantee you that you won't be disappointed. Dr. Farouk, we were just starting to unpack some additional things before the break. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, we were talking about the notion of human rights, and what's fascinating is, in a sense, we can call really Cyrus, I guess, one of the fathers, anyways, in history. It's fascinating to see how civilization is built on a number of pillars. Like ancient Greece, as we know, is really they were the founders. Especially when you look at that golden era of Greece, where the notion of democracy, logical thought, and discourse, originate. And on the other side of the Aegean, if you will, in the Persian Empire, you have the rise of the notion of human rights, the notion of what we in the American Republic, the freedom of worship, the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, and so forth. And then how do we trace that? What's fascinating is, the prophet Zoroaster, whom we do not really know exactly when he lived. We don't know the facts of his life yet. I mean, there's a lot of good studies, including the Yamaguchi book that you referred to. There are five basic principles that Cyrus drew upon. The first is the concept of an all-powerful, single, benevolent God, which they called Ahura Mazda, or the Supreme Angel. So they definitely had a belief in one Supreme God. Secondly, Ahura Mazda, or the Supreme God, stands for all that is good. And the third principle, Ahriman, who's, I guess, the equivalent of Satan, is the supreme evil entity opposed to Ahura Mazda and his creations, which are good. And the fourth basic principle, individual goodness. How do we express that? By honesty, good works, good deeds, good thoughts. And the fifth and I think final principle is the principle of personal choice. We all have a choice between good and evil. Thereby we assume personal responsibility or our actions. Now, what's interesting is there are very close parallels between Zoroastrian dualism and Jewish theology. Now, that may have been one reason Cyrus was fond of the Jews, but we can speculate on that. For example, the Zoroastrian concept of personal choice between the good and the bad, there are parallels in Jewish theology. For example, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Yetzer Tov, the good impulse, versus the Yetzer Hara, the bad impulse. So it's interesting, again, the notion of choice that you see in the in Jewish theology, the notion of choice and personal responsibility. And the notion, for example, in the Zoroastrian concept of Arta, which is truth, versus Druj, which is lie. And then again, you see, these notions in the Hebrew Essene manual of discipline, the Dead Sea Scrolls, for example. The Zoroastrian pantheon of Yazata, the angels, versus the demons, the Deva. Again, you find that angels and demons in Judeo-Christian theology. What's interesting, again, the Zoroastrian concept of, and you will see this in the Christian religion, the Zoroastrian concepts of the apocalypse, for example, resurrection and final judgment, these were very much honored in the Zoroastrian religion. Or even the old Iranian term for paradise, for example, parideza. Again, you will find that in Judeo-Christian tradition as well. The notion of the existence of a heaven and hell and so forth, you see that again in the Christian theology. And, of course, the notion of a savior, which they call Sayushant in Zoroastrianism, again, you see that equivalent in the Jewish Messiah. And, of course, as we talked earlier in the program, Cyrus was viewed pretty much as a savior by the Jews of his time, at least when we look at the book of Ezra and the book of Isaiah. So the notion of human rights very much goes back to Cyrus's thought. And it's interesting when you look at today, again, the notion of human rights definitely has powerful Judeo-Christian roots, at least as we see them in the Western world. But let us not forget that Cyrus had much to do with the promotion of these principles, because he himself hailed from a religion that was very close to the Judeo-Christian line of thought. And again, that goes, we can go forward in time, especially when we talk about the notion of, later Christianity and so forth. We constantly see these silent parallels throughout time. And it's important that we don't let this be forgotten. I personally don't believe in this black and white notion of East versus West. To me, these are quite artificial. I think all of these peoples and civilizations have worked together to create world civilization as we see it today. And it's a shame to view things in such binary terms, if I may. But Cyrus, again, I keep coming back to Cyrus. This whole book wouldn't exist without Cyrus. And he was truly, when we talk about a world empire, this wasn't, I think that was really the genius of Cyrus. This wasn't an empire built by force. Like the Assyrian Empire, for example, was a fantastic military machine of its time. They pretty much crushed all the opposition. But this was an empire built on brute force. Like you look at Assyrian depictions of when they're trying to capture Jerusalem, you see people being impaled, killed, driven, herded, turned into slavery. But when you look at Persepolis, for example, you just see all kinds of people just being lined up in procession to view the king in the spring festivals, known to the Iranians today as the Nowruz festival, the New Year, Persian New Year festival, if you will. And what's interesting is now, we now pretty much know that these are, the actual pictures that you see in Persepolis, these are all peoples of the empire. And Korwazik, actually, who wrote a book, actually, on the role of the Jews in ancient Persia, actually, traced that some of the actual people that we thought were actually Phoenicians were actually Jews. And they're bringing gifts, of course, to Darius, in the Persepolis room. But, of course, like with all empires, I guess the first Achaemenid Empire was toppled by Alexander the Great. And again, you see, like all empires, when they rise and fall, basically gave way to, again, nepotism, corruption, and so on, very much like we see later with Rome and much of the empires. When empires become quite powerful and wealthy, unfortunately, there's a human tendency towards corruption. And in Persia, this cycle repeated three times, first with the Achaemenids, then the Parthian Empire, and then you have the Sasanian Empire. And it was always pretty much the same. You have a powerful rise, they become extremely powerful and wealthy, and then they collapse. And usually the collapse, we always look at some foreign military invader, but there's always some factors in within the society and the government that lead the empire towards weakness and collapse.
You know, it's interesting you mention that, Kaveh, because in this course that I'm teaching on the Book of Daniel down in this Lutheran church in the south side of San Antonio, I've gotten into this in just recent days with these folks in regard to this whole issue of the rise and fall of empires. And as I've tried to say to them, you know, when you look at Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel's vision in Daniel chapter 7, which deal with this business of Babylonians and Medes and Persians and Greeks and Romans, the idea is quite clearly there that empires rise and empires fall in world history, and that there are certain patterns that accompany both the rise and the fall of these empires. And then as I was saying to them, you know, you look at the book of Esther in the Old Testament and the way in which it's believed that Xerxes was, in regard to what's discussed in Esther chapter 1, may have been planning some of his ill-fated military campaigns against the Greeks. I've tried to say to these folks, hey, when we look at these principles, we're not simply talking at this juncture about Babylonians and Medes and Persians and Greeks and Romans. We're also discerning these patterns in regard to what could be going on with the United States right now. Kevin Phillips, in his book American Theocracy, makes the point that there's a very dangerous doctrine of American exceptionalism, or the notion that the United States, in the minds of many of its own people, is the exception to the rule in regard to those things that cause empires to rise and fall. And what I've tried to say to some of my people in this course on Daniel is, hey, at least according to the Old Testament, these are rules and axioms that pertain to empires all across time and history, and that in our own modern period of time, and I'm speaking as an American now, when we look at some of the things that are going on in this country, we need to be reminded of the fact that if it could happen to empires as great as the Persian Empire and the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire, it certainly could happen to the so-called American Empire, or for that matter, any other empire.
Yes, it's interesting you mentioned that. I was just, as you were describing this, my mind went towards Xerxes' invasion of Greece. And what's fascinating is he assembled probably the most powerful military machine of its time. Mind you, there were weaknesses with that military machine, as you'll see at the end of chapter 4 of the book. One aspect of the weakness being its sheer size, and it was so multilingual that the armies couldn't even communicate properly with each other. But what's fascinating, and this is where we get into the passion of ancient Greece, surviving against a mighty imperial invader, Xerxes' approach, it's quite fascinating because a lot of what he did was so much against what Cyrus did. For example, when he finally forced the Thermopylae Pass and breaks into the plains of Greece, and even when Athens was abandoned, his decision to burn the city of Athens was the exact opposite of what Cyrus would have done. And this act of burning not only the city of Athens, but also appropriating the statues of the ancient Greek gods, shipping them back to Persia, for example, these actions basically resonate with us to this day. I think Xerxes' invasion, the consequences of that invasion and his defeat and so on, definitely highlight, and it's funny as we're talking about this, because chapter 4 is called Xerxes and the Limits of Empire. Every empire meets its match. Every empire meets its limit. And this is the danger of relying just solely on one's notion of authority on military force. Military arts and military force, these things are always ephemeral, because what happens is ultimately, no matter how well, for example, your cavalry or your archery, or in today's day and age, your aircraft, your guns, your planes, there's always going to be somebody who will design something better, superior. So simply looking for glory on the battlefield, eventually you will meet your match. And every empire, including Rome, which lasted 1,000 years, they were also toppled piece by piece. And what ultimately we forget is what makes an empire or any nation stand is are its laws. It's how they basically follow laws, the law and order, the notion of respect for human dignity and so forth. If we corrupt those principles with arrogance and wealth and military might, well, those things will pass. And then what happens is then the empire usually, basically when you look at it, as you said, most, if not all, of these empires have fallen from within. I mean, look at mighty Rome today. Now we have Italy, we have Greece in the place of ancient Greece, and Persia once was quite vast, and it's amazing, of course, that these entities have still survived, but, you know, up to the present. But it's interesting that by the time that Alexander invades Persia.
We'll be back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Dr. Pavef Oak, author of the new book, Shadows of the Desert, Ancient Persian. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address. Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Thank you.
Mark Van Foss America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Joined today by Dr. Kaveh Farooq at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, Canada. He is the author of the brand new book, Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War. This is put out by Osprey Publishing, O-S-P-R-E-Y. You can find Osprey Publishing at www.ospreypublishing.com. And, of course, Dr. Farooq's book is available now at Barnes & Noble and at Borders and at Amazon and all of the other usual places where you might buy a book of this quality. I'm noticing, just looking through this book last night, I'm planning on reading the book in its entirety in the next week or 10 days or so, in conjunction with this class I'm teaching on the Book of Daniel down here in San Antonio. A number of things come to mind. If you turn to Chapter 5, where there is a discussion of the Achaemenid Empire from Artaxerxes I to the rise of Macedon. Artaxerxes I is very prominently mentioned in the Old Testament. If you turn to Nehemiah chapter 2, you will see that he issued an edict that is most important to our understanding of how it was that Nehemiah managed to get back to Jerusalem and to work toward the rebuilding of the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Also, that edict of Artaxerxes is the beginning point of Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks in Daniel chapter 9, this 490-year period of time that is prophesied by Daniel, that is considered to be probably the leading prophetic text in the entirety of the Old Testament. A lot of controversy about those 490 years. I think it's pretty clear that the beginning point of that time frame is Artaxerxes I's decree to Nehemiah. But the last 7 years of that 490-year period of time, has it been fulfilled, or is it yet to be fulfilled? This is an ongoing controversy in Christian theology today, and I'll leave that for another show, but suffice it to say that Dr. Farooq's book gives us a lot of information about Artaxerxes that supplements what we know about him from the Old Testament. Then getting back, of course, to Chapter 4 of Dr. Farooq's book, which is entitled Xerxes and the Limits of Empire. Folks, I think when you begin reading about Xerxes and these famous battles that he conducted, planned and conducted against the Greeks, Thermopylae and Salamis come to mind. We see the way in which the Persian Empire began to founder the basis of these ill-fated military invasions. What I'm suggesting in this is that there could be a parallel between what happened to the Persian Empire under Xerxes and what is happening right now to the United States and what appears to be an imperial overstretch in regard to our present policies in the Middle East, as it pertains to Palestine, Mesopotamia, Babylon, and Persia. It remains to be seen how all of this is going to play out, but when I looked at Dr. Farooq's book last night, I keep coming back to Pat Buchanan's commentary, which you can find today at lukerockwell.com, titled, Does the Decider Decide on War? This is a very, very key point, isn't it? We are moving toward an entirely new era, it seems, in our relationship with the Middle East generally and with Iran specifically. And it's absolutely imperative that we understand more about that region, and certainly Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War by Dr. Kaveh Farooq. It's fought at Network. Stay tuned.
A message.